I read to us first from Matthew, and then the second reading will come from Luke. I read first Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to verse 20. In the Good News version, it says this: "Do not think that I have come to do away with the law of Moses and the teachings of the prophet. I have not come to do away with them, but to make their teachings come true. Remember that as long as heaven and earth last, not the least point nor the smallest detail of the law will be done away with. Not until the end of all things. So then, whoever disobeys even the least important of the commandments and teaches others to do the same will be least in the kingdom of heaven. On the other hand, whoever obeys the law and teaches others to do the same will be great in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you then that you will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven only if you are more faithful than the teachers of the law and the Pharisees in doing what God requires."
Isikolo sethu sesibili sitholakala encwadini kaLuka 15. Siqala ukufunda evesini lokuqala siyophetha kwelesikhombisa. Izwi likaJesu Kristu lifundeka kanje: "Kwakusondela kuye bonke ababutheli bentela naboni ukuba bemuzwe. AbaFarisi nababhali babenyenyezela bethi, 'Lo muntu wamukela izono, adle nazo.' Waye sebakhulumela lo mzekeliso ethi, 'Ngumuphi umuntu kini onazo izimvu eziyikhulu, uma elahlekelwa yiyo inye, angazishiyi ezisishiyagalolunye nanye ehlane, eye kulona elahlekileyo aze alufumane? Uma elufumane, uzelulela emagxalabeni akhe ethokoza. Uma efika ekhaya, ubiza abangani nomakhelwane athi kubo, 'Thokozani nami, ngifumene imvu yami ebilahlekile.' Ngithi kini, kunjalo kuya kuba khona intokozo ezulwini ngenxa yomoni oyedwa ophendukayo kunokuba ngenxa yabalungileyo abangamashumi abayisishiyagalolunye nanhlanu abangadingi ukuphenduka." Leli yizwi likaJesu Kristu. Amen.
I begin today with an idea. If you ran a business and you were selling something, and there came a time where what you were selling, there was a small amount that went missing or it didn't work, and so it got left off and you didn't sell it. In business terms, it's often called an acceptable loss. I've made enough money and I build into my way of working that I've made enough money that if something doesn't work properly, I can lose it and it's fine. Everything carries on. Sometimes they say you write it off. Sometimes they say you adjust the books. And that's a way that a sensible business works. We know that not everything can be perfect in your business. There will be problems. But we make provision for that. We build that into how the business operates. Sometimes it will go wrong, and that's okay. And that's the way that our world works. That's the way that we approach the world that we live in. If something in a small business went wrong, you wouldn't suddenly shut down the whole operation and everything would stop. Now imagine, you go off to buy yourself a new pair of shoes and you arrive at the shop and the doors are shut. And they say to you, "No, we've lost a pair of shoes in the stock room. And so we've closed the whole shop because we're not sure where those shoes have gone to." You would stand at the door and you would bang on the door and you would say, no, that's a silly way to run your business. You can't do it that way. You've lost one pair of shoes. That's not my problem. I want to come in. I want to buy the shoes today. And that's what I want to do. But as we read our scripture today about the lost sheep, that's what seems to be happening. A reckless way of doing business. A reckless way of engaging with the world around us. Jesus says, if you have 100 sheep and you lose one of them, don't you go off and you find the one, you leave your sheep behind. The 99 that are still there, you leave them and you go and you find the one. And that's how you operate. That's what you do. In today's world, everybody around us is saying that's simply not the way to do it. You have to operate as if something's going to go wrong. You can lose some, and that's okay. One is not the 99, and you've still got 99. So you're all right. Jesus says that is not God's way. God operates very different. And that immediately tells us something about God. That God doesn't work the same way that we work. God doesn't count in the same way we count. We would look at the 99 and say, there's enough. God looks and says, one is missing. God views our world very differently. And what looks irresponsible to us many times looks like love to God. We would look and say we need to continue to protect the 99 that are here. Because what happens if when I go away something happens to these 99? God says the opposite. What might look irresponsible to us is love for God. In other words, God is not the kind to look at something and manage a ledger, to look and say, I want to tick off and see how many I have. Rather, God looks at the world and says, what's missing? What's not there? What has gone wrong that we need to come into this moment and to fix? And as we see that, we are able to see that God, as God views the world differently, can also teach us to live differently in this world. Most of us imagine righteousness as a kind of bookkeeping. Have you met people in the world who are the ones who always keep track? I have 3 children at home, and let me tell you, if one of them goes into the kitchen and finds a sweet somewhere, and the other 2 see that the one has the sweet, I know which of my children will come to me, and they will say, ah, Dad, that one found a sweet, where's my sweet? There's people in this world who keep track. They know, what does everybody else have? When you're driving through the streets and you look at your car, and I drive a small Honda Jazz and sometimes I drive next to the Porsche. And I see the Porsche and I think, ooh, where did that money come from? But some people do it the other way around. They drive in the Porsche and they look at the others and say, they're not doing as well as I am. Their lives are not as good as my life. And then that comes into our world, into our mind, and we say the same thing. I look at my life and I compare it to somebody else. They look at theirs and they compare it to me. And our world is set up that way. We look at our world geopolitics and some countries look and say, that country has oil and I don't. And we're going to bomb them until they give us their oil. And that's the way that our world works. We work in a world where people are keeping track. People are keeping score. People are measuring and comparing. People are saying this and not that. People are looking at our world in a way which God doesn't. Sometimes they ask the good questions, who's obeying the rules, who's doing what they're supposed to. Sometimes they're looking at it and saying, who broke the rules and who stepped outside of them. And these are good and necessary for us to have a society which is just, and we've prayed for that in our intercessory prayers. But sometimes they go too far. Sometimes the rules and the keeping track and the comparing give us a reason to bring somebody else down. A reason to say, I am better than others. And religion can often reinforce this way of thinking. Religion can often be the one which makes that happen most in our world. And sometimes we, as people who follow Christ, can make God into the accountant. Can stand here on earth and raise our fists at God and say, God, you must look down on those people. God, you must look down on people who are different to me and are doing things in a way that I say is wrong. We can sometimes tell God what to do. And this is what's happening in some of our story today. The religious leaders are angry with God. They become angry with Jesus. And remember, if we hold true to our understanding of the Trinity, that God is three parts, three equal parts in relationship with each other. That what Jesus says and does is what God is bringing into our world. And so when the religious leaders speak and they say that Jesus is doing things that they don't like, what they mean is, we have lost the ability to tell God what to do. We have lost the ability to tell God that those people over there are people we don't like. Sometimes when we view the Trinity, we still see the Trinity as a hierarchy. God at the top, Jesus in the middle, and the Holy Spirit at the bottom. And the Holy Spirit must do what Jesus said on earth, and Jesus must do what God has put into place. And we see this Trinity as three but unequal. God at the top, Jesus in the middle, and the Holy Spirit at the bottom. But the Trinity for us in our Methodist understanding is more like a circle than like a stick. And in that, each one is equal and the same as the others. So when Jesus speaks, he speaks the words of God. When Jesus acts, it is the acts of the Holy Spirit, and each is the same. And so what Jesus does is he comes to earth and he eats with tax collectors. He welcomes sinners. He calls the excluded people his friends. And he draws around him people who the religious leaders of the time said were not good enough. He draws them around. And if we hold to our understanding of the Trinity, we then know that this is the way that God acts. This is who God is in our world. And so when the religious leaders complain, Jesus answers them with this sentence that still shocks religious people to this day. Those who are well do not need a doctor. Those who are sick do. I have not come to call the righteous. I have come to call the sinners. And this helps us to see that God's way is not our way. The religious leaders of those days held very tightly that only some people could come to the kingdom of God. Only some people could be loved by God if you followed the laws exactly. If you were like the accountant who ticked all the boxes and said, I have done all of these things, therefore I am good with God. Christ came and said, that is not the way. I will eat with whoever I want to eat with. I will eat with the people that you push aside. I will be in their houses. I will go to them because they are the ones who need me the most. They are the ones who need to hear the gospel of Christ the most. And in this, we find that Jesus insists that this is the righteousness of God. This is the way that God operates in our world. Remember that Jesus didn't come to create a new religion. Human beings did that. Jesus came instead to reveal the nature of God. And that is unconditional love. To reveal that the only way we can live well in this world is when we open our hearts, our minds, and our lives to people around us. Where we see them the way that God saw them. And again, remember, Jesus saw everybody equally. Jesus continued to go into their houses to eat with them. Jesus continued to do everything he could to open up new relationship with people around him. And that is what the religious leaders did not like. The righteousness of God is an unconditional love that very often does not fit within our religious systems. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus reminds us of something that, as we first hear it, sounds reassuring. But Jesus always takes things to another level. He says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. No, I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And when we hear these words, we think, yes, God, because when we read the Old Testament, we see that there is goodness and mercy and grace and love built into all of the laws. We see and we read, even in places like Deuteronomy, where it says that if you have a field, harvest only the inside parts of the field, leave the edges unharvested, so that those who have no land to farm, those who have no food, can come to your farm and pick at the edges of that farm and have enough to eat. We see in the Old Testament that as the Israelite people move into the land of Canaan, they're told, when aliens from other countries come to your country, don't push them away. Welcome them in. Let them eat with you. If they need a place to stay for one night, let them share where you live. And then send them on their way with food as they go on their journey. We see in the Old Testament ways in which the Israelite people needed to be different to all the nations around them. And they are marked as different. They said, don't go and do the same as the nations around you. Do it differently. Live differently. Even to the extent where they're told to speak differently and to love in a new way. And if we read the Old Testament, we see that that is real and true. And so we know that Jesus came not to create something new, not to bring a new religion into the world, but to fulfill God's promise from the beginning. In Genesis, when we read that the world is good and God says this world is good, I've created this world and it is good, we know that that's what Jesus has come to fulfill and to make real. And so we hear this and we say, yes, Jesus, yes. You haven't come to abolish the old way and to bring a new way in. You've come rather to do what God has said God would always do and bring love and goodness and hope and joy into our world. But Jesus always goes further than we think. Jesus is the original one to go the extra mile as he commands us to do. And Jesus does something unexpected. He takes the law to a new level. When the law says, do not murder, Jesus says that's good and well, but also do not live in anger, so that we don't get to the murder in the first place. When the law says, love your neighbor, Jesus says that's good and well, but we need more. We need something else. We must love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And that comes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. He takes it further. He does more than the law expects. And this is the way of Jesus. This is the way of righteousness. That Jesus says, don't just tick the box and say, that's the law in the Old Testament, and that's enough. We must always take it further. And then we begin to realize that the law was never meant to be the destination. We're not meant to just achieve the law and that's enough. Jesus calls us. God calls us. The Holy Spirit moves in us to do more than the law, to go beyond. The law is the starting place. And if we've done everything right in the law, then we know we're in a good place to begin good works and to go further than could have been expected. That's why I have hope in the world. If I hoped that everybody in the world would just do what the law says and that's it, I would have no hope in this world. Because all we're doing then is living up to the very minimum that we can live up to.